Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli. Why is that happening?
We just hear the music in your voice, Drew. It's great to be with you.
All right. Well, my voice was echoing back at me, but now it's not. So okay. This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm with Christopher John O'Shea as he made himself known there for a second or two. Christopher, how are you?
Great. It's great to usher in December with the listeners of CBM.
Yes, and we're going to be on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and direct the conversation. Tonight is an open show. Last week we did our typical charity show before Thanksgiving, but this week we're back on open shows. And as you say, December came in today with a bear claw. And, you know, last couple days you've had some wild swings in the market. And so, you know, maybe people are worried about that. Maybe they want to know, you know, what do you do? You know, what you do is you don't panic and you don't get fearful and you don't get worried unless you think the world's coming to an end. And I don't. And I don't think there's any reason that you should believe that the world's coming to an end. And one of the worst things you can do is listen to the media. And, you know, media has a way of writing stories like last Friday, this Omicron variant came out, and that's what clobbered the market. And then the very next day, the market went up again, and they said, oh, well, you know, I'm sure the market is now just thinking about it, Omicron. And actually, somebody really came out, Chris, this media report came out and said, President Biden calmed the fears of the Omicron variant, and that's what made the market go up on Monday. And then obviously they got all concerned about Omicron. But let me tell you what's really going on. It's very simple. Is Jeremy Powell has said that he believes that inflation is something that he has to be concerned about, and he's going to speed up his tapering of an increase of the money supply to try to control inflation. And that has always been the thing that markets respond to. It's the only thing the market is worried about at this moment in time, at least as far as we know, because markets always are concerned about what the Federal Reserve is doing. But in my opinion, there's nothing you can really do about it. Because if Powell tightens, you don't know how much he's going to tighten, if he even does. There have been times where he said he's going to tighten, and he tries to, and then about 2 months later, he turns and runs and starts loosening up, and the markets take off for the moon. And if you miss those takeoffs, you're going to miss a lot of what the market does. So your best approach is to have a logical, sound portfolio for your goals and objective, knowing that you can get plenty of cash for at least 2 to 3 years of needs, and you know, go with a portfolio that's going to meet your risk tolerance in the sense of how much volatility can you handle, how much volatility can you stomach when the markets go up and down 1-3% over periods of time and 10-20% over longer periods of time. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question. If you have a question to ask, now's the time to do it. 410-922-6680. And I like to say there's probably a lot of people out there like to hear your question, but they're not the kind that would call into a radio show. And so if you're brave enough to do that and ask your question, you're probably going to help two or three other people also at the same time.
Sure. They may want to ask about year-end moves. There's still time to do some things.
Yeah, and we've been doing way too many of them, it seems like. I'm doing more Roth conversions than I've ever done. I did a fairly significant one for myself. You know, and I think that everybody should be thinking about raw strategies. And, you know, Chris, it's one of the most frustrating things that I can I have to say about people who come to see us for the first time. And it's been, what, 23 years since the Roth laws were incorporated, and they have $0 in Roth money. And yet they claim they had a financial advisor working for them. And I just marvel at that concept. So everyone needs a Roth strategy.
Yeah, you would think that some of those things that were one of the few things you could do, HSAs, Roths, that more people would be aware of them. And it seems that more and more people are, but there's still an enormous amount of folks haven't done anything about them.
So anyway, we're on an open show tonight.
We are. We've got Mark in Ellicott City to start off with, and then we're going to go to Ken after that. So Mark wants to talk about income annuities. Mark, what's your question? Thanks for calling.
Well, I was wondering, with an income annuity, is it 65 that you get more of a percentage if you wait compared to if you were 64 or 63?
So you're talking about a guaranteed withdrawal annuity, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, now, very important that you understand the semantics of the two. And you could use, some companies will use the word income, but you have to remember that these annuities, these guaranteed withdrawal annuities, are merely promising you to give you a certain percentage of your own money back or the rate of return that the portfolio is making. And normally, these rates of return on these things are normally higher than the actual investment rate of return. So a lot of times you're getting just the return of your principal. But you're absolutely right. There's normally different amounts that they'll pay out at 60, at 65, and then it goes up even higher at 70. And there's different amounts they'll pay out if you're doing it for you and a spouse or if you're just doing it for a single individual. So yes, that is a that is an age that you will typically see a higher percentage payout.
I see. One more question in reference. If you have an inherited IRA and you have some long-term stocks and a regular IRA, if you do not have a Roth, is there a way to interweave that into...
The only way you can do it in that situation, you cannot use an inherited IRA to get to Roth, okay? So that's out. But your own traditional IRA or 401k can always be converted to Roth if you're willing to pay the income taxes on the conversion. So if I have a $100,000 IRA, I can convert the whole thing, or I can convert $10,000, or I can convert $1,000, whatever I want to. But when I do, depending on how much income tax that'll generate, I have to be ready to pay it.
And you can only take out the gain for the first 5 years?
No. You can, anytime you convert, it depends on your age. If you're over 59 and a half and you convert $50,000 over to a Roth IRA, you could take out the whole $50,000 the minute you convert. You just can't touch the interest, dividends, and gains unless you've had a Roth IRA in existence for at least 5 years. But the first $50,000 is available anytime you want it.
Gotcha.
All right, my friend. Good question. All right. Chris, we got to take a pause, and then we're going to come right back with Ken, and we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Give us a call.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back with some strange music, but we got to go on. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. We have a couple callers online, Chris. Let's go right to them.
John, you want to talk Roth IRAs? Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks. Hi.
Hey, John.
So I heard you talking earlier about IRAs and financial tools and all that stuff.
Right.
And it occurred to me that I've got both a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And, of course, one's older than the other. One was, part of a company contribution program, and then Roth IRAs sort of came into existence, and then people started catching on to the popularity of that. Anyway, so I got both, and I'm sure a lot of other people have both as well. So my question is, what is the proper proportion of investment in either one of those? Should they be 50-50? Should you get rid of the traditional and go with the Roth entirely?
That's a great question.
It's a great question, and it's a complicated question. So first off, you can't easily just get rid of your traditional money. So the first party, I understand, but you pay a pretty price for it. So let's say, for example, your typical income range was $150,000 a year. And let's say that you have $500,000 in traditional IRAs. Are you going to convert $500,000 and push your taxable income up to $650,000 and pay taxes at 37% rate?
Not all in one year, but you can do a gradual program.
But that's my point, and that's exactly what we're talking about, John, is that all clients should be looking at their income tax situation, and all clients should be methodically converting portions of their traditional pre-tax money into Roth money if you can do it at favorable tax rates along the way. Now, here's the problem, John. This is the problem. The tax laws are littered with landmines of tax increases. So in other words, if you go over $150,000, Maryland starts taking away your personal exemptions. You only have to go over $150,000 by $1, and they start taking it away. Maryland starts taking away your personal exemption. So do you have children? Are you married? Do you have children?
No, I'm single. I'm widowed.
Okay. So you're widowed. So if you're single, then if you make more than $100,000 of adjusted gross income, you immediately lose $1,600 of exemption on your Maryland income tax return. So in other words, if you were at $90,000 and you converted $10,010 and all of a sudden your AGI flipped over to $110,000, you just lost $1,600 of Maryland exemption. Now, it's not a big deal, but, it's these little landmines that are in the tax law. You know, there's 85, it's about $90,000 now for single people. If you make over $90,000 by $1, your Medicare Part B premium goes up by about $70 a month. And if you make more than that, even if you make like $110,000, it's going to go up another $80 or so a month. And so,
right.
And if you go over these things by just $1, these things start clicking in. And so
right.
The tax laws are littered with these things, and you have to methodically think it out. What amount do I want to convert, and what landmines am I going to possibly ignite? And if I do, why do I feel it's still in my best interest to go ahead and do that? That's my point.
Let's talk a minute about the incentive to do so, and that is obviously for a tax-free retirement income, right?
Well,
so
yes.
To pay taxes on the money.
It's much more than that, but go ahead. You go ahead with your comments, and I'll tell you the rest of it.
Oh, that's about all I got.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, I'm talking about all these landmines, right? So yeah. one of the cool things about a Roth IRA is that a Roth IRA never affects your income tax return at all. So
right.
if you have a bunch of medical deductions and all you have are Roth IRAs you're pulling out of your IRA accounts, you're not going to lose the 7.5%. You're not going to lose as much of your 7.5% exemption for medical expenses. So,
right.
you know, that's just one of many things. Your Social Security may not be taxable at all. I mean, you know, Peter Thiel has $5 billion supposedly in a Roth IRA. He could be collecting Social Security in retirement and not pay a nickel in taxes on it if all he ever
exactly.
does is live off of his Roth income. And
right.
And you see, this is my point. That's why Roth is so powerful and why everybody needs a Roth strategy, but it's got to be done methodically.
So, but we still haven't talked about the end game. I mean, obviously the strategy is where you guys are really good and you get us to where we want to, where we need to be. So, but my question is, where's the ideal place to be? I mean, is it worth
the ideal place to be
slowly and entirely?
The ideal place to be is to constantly whittle away at your pre-tax money. I personally, now I've moved to Florida, okay? Because I moved to Florida, I understand, good for me, right? But because I moved to Florida, I intend to, sooner or later, eliminate all of my pre-tax money in case for some reason I return to a taxable state. I want to make sure that I get my money out with the least tax consequences possible.
I'm with you. And I've thought the same thing for years. But, you know, people, or I should say counselors, investment counselors, have been cautious about advocating that objective for a while. And you know, maybe it's because the Roths were an unknown element or they didn't know how the government was going to treat Roths in the future. There were, you know, there's a handful of excuses you can come up with. And one of those I wanted to ask about, is it still true that the financial whiz kids in the Senate and in the government are still trying to figure out ways to monetize Roths because they really don't like the idea that we can...
No, but what they just did, you know, President Biden is trying to do right now is say $10 million is the most you can have in any combination of retirement accounts. And if you have more than $10 million in there, you're going to have to start taking it out. And if you have more than $20 million in there, you just got to get it out, period.
I don't think I'm going to have to worry about that one.
Well, I understand you don't, but that's just the first, you know, you're absolutely right. And I hear what you're saying, and I've always been an advocate of one of the biggest dangers of Roth conversions is someday they just open up and say, hey, you know, we gave you this Roth tax-free for the last 20, 30 years. Well, we just can't afford it anymore. So from today on, your Roth is tax-free for the past, but from today on, anything you earn on it is no longer considered a tax-free Roth.
There and
there's
you go.
There's nothing
else. Maybe they could incentivize you to take money out at a certain rate. Like you have to take out, you know.
But even if you do, you know, but
or something.
You see, but even if they do that, you're still better off with after-tax money than you are with pre-tax money because it seems like the future is government is just going to try to tax you more. And more and more. And here's a message to our listeners.
In closing, Chris,
is that the Biden administration is trying to pass this billionaire tax where it's on assets. Okay, never before been done in the history of our government. And let me tell you something. When they do something like that, 5-10 years down the road, they're going to do it to all of us. Anyway, we got to go. We're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, get old Julio out of the way.
Turn your volume down there. Andrew. So, yeah, we have all open phone lines. If you want to get on the line and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, Drew.
Yes, and we're on an open show, so feel free to call in. We have nobody on the line, 410-922-6680. I have to talk to Chris if you don't call in. Not that he minds that too much, but...
Well, do you, though? You know, I know you, and no, you can't possibly, right? So, but anyway, to continue the discussion, John was talking about Roths. Well, obviously on either side of the aisle in D.C., people have either said yes, you know, as far as Roth, limiting Roths or not limiting Roths. I mean, the one thing they've really talked about is preventing people from putting money into deductible 401ks, right? That's been talked about also. So in effect, it being a Roth, right? So,
right.
So direct people to do that for the fact that because they're going to get more tax money now. They'll worry about that part later. You know, limiting some money that can go in there as far as the wealthy people. And that's what you're going to see more and more. You're saying more and more things are getting, quote unquote, means tested, right?
Right. But, you know, let's talk about the Roth conversions. It's a very simple concept that yeah. you're looking for. In a Roth conversion, what you're thinking about, and this is the whole equation, what's my tax bracket today? So if in 2021, my tax bracket would have been 24%. Let's just
the marginal bracket, right.
If that's what I would be paying taxes on, and I convert and I pay 24% tax bracket on that money, then what I want, in order for that transaction to be a winner, I have to be in the 24% tax bracket or higher in the future, and my Roth conversion is a winner. It's a big-time winner, and that's the equation that I'm thinking about. So when I do a Roth conversion analysis, I put the information in the tax program of where we're going to be, and I say, okay, I'm going to convert $50,000. How much tax did that cause? How much did $50,000? So $50,000 causes $10,000 of tax. That's called a 20% tax bracket. If it caused $40,000 of taxes, that's called an 80% tax bracket. So now I'm thinking, okay, do I expect my tax bracket in the future to be equal to or higher than that? And if it does, if I think it will be, then I want to encourage my clients to consider Roth conversion of however much money that is to get to that point.
And at the heart of that is the same question unanswered. At the heart of at what point do you collect Social Security? Do you wait until age 70?
Right? Yeah.
We just don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, but you know, it's a question that we all have to think about, and you know, and the big thing about Roth, Chris, is that Roth IRAs are especially beneficial for the next generation. So people who are generationally minded, in other words, if you're as much concerned about what you're leaving behind to your children and grandchildren, the Roth IRA is the most powerful thing you can leave behind to the next generation and so forth. So,
and just to say, so the opportunity, so for even if rates stay the same, but now you stop working, and this is where there's a big window, before your Social Security starts. So there's an opportunity. I was talking to someone today that they were able to take, they filled up, you know, the 12% bracket all the way to right before the 22% tax bracket. So because they know in the future their income is going to be higher. So that if they were to convert later on, it will necessarily be more expensive. Or if they take money out of their IRAs, it's going to be at a higher bracket than if they take it out now.
Yeah. So
that's the slam dunk.
Yeah. So you got a client who's 64. And they haven't taken Social Security yet, and they're not required to take money out of their IRAs yet. So what do? They start doing Roth conversions because they know at 70, they're going to start getting all this Social Security money in.
Yep.
And at 72, they're going to be forced to take money out of IRAs. And Chris, when you're forced to take money out of an IRA, what's called a required minimum distribution, you cannot convert that to a Roth.
Right.
You can only convert dollars above and beyond your required minimum distribution. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. There are plenty of lines open. I think all of them are, actually.
Well, we just have one coming on right now. We've got Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Tom, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Question about, I have two brokerage accounts. Now, if I sell, let's say, stock A is in both accounts, let's say.
Okay.
Well, let's say stock A is in one account. I sell it at a loss. If I buy it back within 30 days, I can't take the loss, right?
Right.
Now, if I have a second account with a different brokerage house altogether, how did they actually know that I didn't buy it in the other brokerage account?
Well, you know, hopefully you're an honest person and you'll do your tax return honestly.
Right, yeah.
But you're right. The other brokerage firm will not, you will not have the little W next to your 1099 saying that this loss can't be taken because it falls into a wash sale. That is absolutely correct. But it's your responsibility to fill out that tax return properly.
Gotcha. Okay.
And if any CPA did the return, if I did the return and I knew you bought it back in that other account, if I had information about that, I would not be able to sign that return, period. End of the story, you know?
But well, you're right. There's no way that that the other brokerage would know.
But there's a lot of things in the tax laws that, you know, they won't know about. And but, you know, we have to be honest because, you know, I have an old saying, Tom, it's life throws a lot of curveballs at you that you can't control. I don't like to throw them at myself.
Right. Well, if you were doing the return, you were some accountant, you know, the client brings all their statements in. And there it would be.
Well, the statements won't show you. The only thing you're going to bring in is the 1099 composites. Yeah. I won't know that what you bought or sold that year.
Yeah.
No, and actually, there are some brokerage 1099s, Chris, that do say what you bought during the course of the year. But I haven't seen that as much anymore.
Yeah, but we're not going to comb through and find something like that.
Especially if you
bought it back and you're still holding it. That would be very difficult.
And remember, it's not just 30 days after you take a loss. It's 30 days before, too. That's the tricky one, you know?
Yep.
That's the tricky one. So if I buy a stock on December 1st and then 2 weeks later sell a different, you know, the same stock for a loss, I also can't take it as a... now, if I sold the exact stock that I bought on December 1st, 2 weeks later at a loss, I can take it, of course, right? But if I bought that stock on December 1st, but I had other of that stock that was at a loss and 2 weeks later I sell it, now I can't take it as a loss. That's under the wash sale. But it's a good question, my friend.
Yeah, Tom,
you can sometimes buy and sell separate lots, right? You may have...
Right.
You know, and some lot you might have a gain on, some lot you might have a loss on, obviously. It's possible, right? So
that's true. And Tom, I'm assuming you're using an alias when you call in and ask questions like this. Good talking to you, Tom. I got to go to traffic.
She knows I'm still Tom Jr., so.
There you go. All right. Take care. Thanks for calling.
We're on an open show. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in while we're on this pause.
Kathy, hang in there with us. We'll get you right after we pause here. And this is Money Versus Wealth, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show, so you get to be the guest. You get to direct the conversation. If we can get rid of this happy-go-lucky music that's going on in the background there.
Put a smile on your face, Drew. We get to talk finance. We've got Kathy in Parkville. We're going to talk Medicare here, and then we've got open phone lines across the way. We've got about 8 minutes to go on the show, so let's put Kathy up. Kathy, thanks for waiting through the break. What can we do for you? What's your question?
Okay, you were talking about if you go over $1 over what the tax
the IRMA limit.
Right. And you said that your Medicare could go up $80
a month.
For the next year. Does it go up the $80 just for 1 year, and then does it get refigured again?
Yeah. Okay, so if you go over an IRMA limit, and so like for a married couple, it's like 100. I'm just going to give you in general. It's like 180,000, 220,000, 260,000, 350,000, and then there's a big one at 750,000. So if you go over any one of those limits by $1, boom. Your Medicare Part B and Part D premium, if you have a Medicare Part D premium, well, you'll have an IRMA surcharge. Okay. And, what's that, Chris?
Okay. Well, I was going to say, her question was, and for how long?
And so, it's based on your 2 year ago tax return. So for 2022, they're looking at your 2020 tax return to determine whether they're going to hit you with this IRMA surcharge. So let's say 2020, you're married and your income's $240,000 because you took a big capital gain or something of whatever caused it to go up there. You know, your premium's not going to be $170 a month. Your premium's going to be more like $300 a month, okay? And then you're going to get an IRMA surcharge on your Medicare Part D also. Now, let's say in 2021, you don't have that big gain or whatever, and your income comes all the way down to $150,000. They're going to look at your 2021 tax return, and in 2023, come back to you and say, oh, look, your income went back down to $150,000, so this year, 2023, we're only going to charge you the $170,000 or whatever it is in 2023 for your Medicare Part B premium. Now, here's an interesting fact, Kathy, okay? So let's say I worked in 2020. And let's say in 2020, I was an executive in a local company or organization, and I was making $195,000 a year plus some other income, and I made $210,000. But now I'm retired in 2021, and they look at my 2020 tax return and they say, well, you know, Drew, you made $200,000, and in 2022, we're going to charge you $285 a month for your Medicare Part B because you made a lot of money. I can file an SSA 44 and say, wait a minute, I stopped working, or I went to part-time work, or I was divorced, or my spouse died and my income has dropped. There's these exceptions that you have to be aware of, because Medicare is looking at a tax return from 2 years ago to determine what rate you should be paying each year. And actually, the law says they can only charge you the premium for what your income actually is in that year, okay? And if you have a differential where, you know, where things are going to change dramatically, then you can ask for an exception. So always be aware of that with this SSA 44 to file it. And I think, Chris, you got another caller online?
No, we don't.
Oh, well, then I'll keep talking to Kathy if she wants. Does that help you?
Yeah. So I had another question, and I just forgot it.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time.
I know. If you turn around and you take, you do some of your 401k or your IRA conversion,
yep,
and then you find out you've done too much, is there, you know, and you find out, you know, in February.
Not anymore. Not anymore. There used to be a fix under the old law, pre-2017. You could do a recharacterization where you could say, oops, I did too much. I don't want to do that much. Give me some of it back or give me all of it back. But under the 2017 tax law, they took that flexibility away from Roth conversions. And that's a shame, actually, that they did that. But, you know, that's how politicians operate.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good question. Very good question. All right, Christopher, I'm now with you, right?
Yes, you are. You've got 3 minutes to open a new topic up or expand on an already existing topic.
Well, I do have a different topic, okay? So it's similar, but a little different. So we had a client coming in the other day, Chris, and they're big charitable givers, okay? So, you know, we looked at their charitable giving and we said, wow, you know, you do a lot of charitable giving, but if you think about it, these people were doing about $20,000 a year, and you know, your standard deduction now is only $25,000. So technically, of their $20,000 they were contributing, only $5,000 actually exceeded the $25,000 standard deduction. So in essence, the first $15,000 of their charitable giving is now considered, in my opinion, after tax. So in other words, if they give $20,000 away, the first $15,000 literally costs them $15,000 of their own money. Okay. So what we said to them was, we think you ought to do 5 years worth of charitable contributions. I'm sorry, 4 years worth of charitable contributions all in 1 year. And by the way, you have a bunch of appreciated stock. So we're going to open up a donor advised fund. We're going to put appreciated stock for $80,000 into that account. And then you're going to give away $20,000 a year like you normally do from the charitable, from the donor advised fund. And we're going to do a Roth conversion and eat that $80,000 of charitable deduction up and not have to really pay any taxes on the $80,000 conversion that we just did.
And nothing brings a bigger smile to your face than
I mean, is that beautiful? I mean, gosh, that's like watching the sun rise over the ocean, you know? It's just
it's better
unbelievable.
Because it's going to put a smile on your face whether you can see the sun rising or not. Sometimes you can't.
That's true, you know, and this, you could see the sun rising on this one, man. I mean, it was just beautiful. You know, but a lot of clients, it's hard for the average client to get their head around what we logically understand. You know,
right.
It's perfectly
simple
and logical.
Yeah, and for people listening who don't have those dollars around to do that, there are opportunities, though, that come up where there are, you know, there's a loved one who has long-term care, and you got all these expenses, and so these expenses are deductible. And all of a sudden, you can bring money out of IRAs, and that would normally be taxable, and then they get offset by the huge deduction that you get. There are one-time things that pop up from time to time.
Or a client is moving into a place like Edenwall, which is a life care facility, or Broadmead, which are life care facilities, and they have to put up $500,000-$600,000 as a down payment or the deposit, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And we get a big medical tax deduction for that. And now I can use that deduction. Could be as much as $250,000, right? And now I can do a Roth conversion out of that medical expense deduction. So there's a lot of cool things you can do if you just know what's going on. But unfortunately, Chris, most financial advisors aren't tax people.
Sure.
And in my opinion, financial advisor always has to be a tax person.
You miss big opportunities otherwise for clients.
Yep. Anyway, we're finished. Chris, I really appreciate you being with me tonight and
a pleasure,
all of our
sir.
Listeners.
Yes.
And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna